Thank you,
Madam Speaker.
Madam Speaker, permit me to make a few preliminary remarks before I commence my budget debate. Let me take this opportunity to thank the Right Honorable Prime Minister, members of this Honorable House, members of the Senate, you, Madam Speaker, members of the Ministry of Education and other ministries of government, members of the public, including my constituents of Miko South, for all of your support, words of condolences, and for attending the funeral services of our three dearly departed. My family was indeed comforted by your overwhelming support, and I want to thank everyone immensely. Madam Speaker, I wish to take this opportunity also to publicly thank the people of Miku South for re-electing me into Parliament. They have shown once again their confidence in me, and I will endeavor to live up to their expectations. I promise that the wrongs which they suffered under the last administration will be made right progressively by this new administration. Madam Speaker, I wish to give my full support to the budget address that was so systematically planned and delivered by the Right Honorable Prime Minister, Sir John Compton. The theme, Bridging the Divide and Reuniting St. Lucia, Forging One Destiny by Creating Opportunities for All, is indeed very apt, and I hope that all of us in this House will work together to have it realized. There is no doubt that there are various avenues to create opportunities for all in this budget. This budget recognizes that to satisfy the needs of the various regions require emphasis on a variety of economic activities. As a consequence, five major geographical regions were targeted to stimulate economic activity throughout the length and breadth of St. Lucia. This could also help to stem the urban drift and bridge the divide. Madam Speaker, we must take time to strive to bridge the political divide that exists in this country if we are to achieve the desired success. There are still too many instances of persons who claim themselves to be professionals not being committed or productive or refusing to participate because they are not of the same political affiliation with their boss or supervisor. Madam Chairman, I have seen it at work during my 4 months as Minister of Education. At this year's Independence Rally, Youth Rally, it was realized that several schools, particularly in one district, chose not to participate. Yet, the rally went on to be a major success, despite having only 1 month to prepare for it. I therefore want to seize the opportunity to commend the organizers, officials of the CDF, Cultural Development Center, they are now with the Ministry of Education, officials of the Ministry of Education, principals and teachers of participating schools, students and performers, as for a well-planned and executed program. You made St. Lucia very proud, and you made the Ministry of Education very proud. Madam Speaker, the Honorable Prime Minister stated emphatically in his address that one of the things that will not be done, and I quote, is the expenditure on the education of our children will not be cut, as this is our investment in our future. This I support wholeheartedly, Madam Speaker. He also said that investment in human resources is the key to escaping poverty. And as he told us, the poverty assessment report for 2006 revealed rates of poverty that were alarming in 4 main districts. Anthony Canaries with the highest, 44.9. Miku next with 43.6, Sufre with 42.4, and Lavri with 42.1%. Very, very alarming, and must be cause for concern for all of us in this Honorable House. Mr. Speaker, as a consequence, government must continue to invest in education in order to liberate its people from poverty. It is for this reason that the Ministry of Education has decided to restore the transportation subsidy to assist impoverished parents and students. It is this government's policy to ensure that students are not deprived of a secondary education for lack of financial means. As a result, commencing September 2007, the Ministry of Education will reintroduce the Secondary School Transport Assistance Program. As we all know, the school transportation system was discontinued in 1997 by the previous administration. 30%, Mr. Speaker, of the overall secondary school population may be classified as needy and deserving transportation assistance. Eligible students will be selected on a means tested basis, depending on their family's financial situation, for a full or partial waiver of transportation fees. Details as to how the program will be implemented will be highlighted later. The Ministry of Education, however, is collaborating with the National Council on Public Transport on this matter. It is estimated that this will cost government approximately $2.4 million a year. Mr. Speaker, unlike the previous year, there was economic growth in 2006. And as we are told, a growth of 5.4%. As I said last year, and I will say again this year, this economic growth is always skewed. Because only a small number of persons benefited from this growth. I am happy that the Honorable Prime Minister himself alluded to this in his budget address. And the poverty assessment report gives support to this. As a consequence, we must continue to invest in education. In the budget address, the Honorable Prime Minister noted that the call for and pursuit of universal secondary education was noble and necessary, but it was hastily implemented without adequate thought and planning. It has also been noted that by several sources, but although St. Lucia and the OECS in general has made progress in expanding access to secondary education, quality and equity remain critical deficiencies and have ultimately contributed to the high rates of unemployment recorded among the youth. Mr. Speaker, as a consequence, the Ministry of Education has established an education task force, the role of which is, and I quote, to review the universal secondary education system and make recommendations for modification and improvement. And two, to examine the feasibility of an approach to transforming the Sir Apollos Community College into a full-fledged university, unquote. The task force comprises of 7 members and is headed by the former Minister of Education, Mr. Louis George. The task force will examine in detail critical areas and issues in the terms of reference under 3 broad headings, namely governance and management, curriculum, teaching and learning, and 3, stakeholder partnership. Presently, the task force has commenced work on the review of universal secondary education and is expected to report by July 15, 2007 in order to implement its recommendation in September 2007. This task force will be augmented to examine the feasibility of transforming Sir Arthur Lewis Community College into a full-fledged university. The terms of reference will be drawn up to commence work by August 2007. There is still much evidence to indicate that universal secondary education was implemented hastily, and I would endeavor to give you some of these evidence. Today, the Marigold Secondary School and the Grand River Secondary School are yet to be completed. They were supposed to have been completed in December 2006. We were given a date that they would be completed in January, but they are yet to be completed, and so the students are housed elsewhere. We were forced, Mr. Speaker, to have students to occupy the Grozier Secondary School prematurely because of major security problems at the Rock Hall institution. where the students were housed previously. So we had to move them ahead of time, even before the completion of the driveway and a number of other rooms in the building. Besides, it is realized that additional space will be required for approximately 500 students. Remember, we were told that every child got a place at secondary school in September 2000. But we are realizing that space will be required for approximately 500 students. Therefore, the Ministry of Education has agreed to increase the number of secondary school places by doing the following. And if you bear with me, Mr. Speaker, I want to read them out. Construct and equip a 5-classroom block at TI Secondary School to accommodate an additional 105 students at the cost of $900,000. Construct and equip an auto 3-classroom block at Bokal Secondary School to accommodate an additional 105 students at a cost of $450,000. Construct and equip a 5-classroom block at Viewport Comprehensive Secondary School, Campus D, at a cost of $900,000. Demolish the 2 wooden blocks at Rock Hall and relocate one each at John Charles Secondary and the other at Viewport Technical Secondary to accommodate students at a cost of $180,000. These are temporary measures. These wooden blocks are temporary measures as plans are put to extend the Viewport Technical Senior Secondary School. Mr. Speaker, these measures will reduce the need for the Ministry of Education to buy school places at private secondary schools. And I say so, Mr. Speaker, because you may not be aware that the Ministry of Education had to buy space for 67 students at Form 1 level at the 7-day Adventist Academy at the cost of EC $1,305 per term. We want to discontinue this, Mr. Speaker, because if we calculate this for a period of 5 years, it is going to cost the ministry to keep these 67 students there for 5 years, $1,313,727. I want to move to teacher training, which the Prime Minister alluded to in his address. It is a fact that teacher effectiveness is the most critical factor in student performance. Hence, government ought to put a significant amount of financing into training and retooling of teachers to build their capacity to meet the educational needs of their students. But with limited resources, we must set our priorities and train our teachers according to our needs. We must therefore commence in earnest discussion with the Apollos Community College in this regard. We must re-examine the teacher training programs offered with a view of tailoring them to meet our needs in relation to the universal secondary school system. Provision ought to be made both for the pedagogical and content aspects of the subject being pursued. And what I say so, Mr. Speaker, let me refer to what has happened with the implementation of universal secondary education. with the implementation of universal secondary education, there was a shift of teachers from the primary school level to the secondary school level. As a matter of fact, you don't have as many teachers that he would have before the implementation of the second universal secondary education. So what has happened is that with that shift, some teachers have to be transferred from the primary school into the secondary school. But let us see what happens at a teacher's college. At a teacher's college, Trafalgar Community College, we have 27 teachers doing the primary teacher education who are paid a salary as they attend. We have 14 in the home economics program who receive a salary. But we have 10 private candidates who receive no salary, no allowance in the secondary teacher education program. And we have 56 private candidates in the primary teacher education program who does not receive a salary nor an allowance. Now, these 56 private teachers doing the primary program with a shift from the primary to the secondary, what is going to happen when they leave Trafalgar Community College? It will be difficult for them to find placement at the primary school level. Yet, they were not trained or equipped to teach at the secondary level. So we have a problem. And when the universal secondary education was implemented, that should have been taken into account, because you have 56 persons who are doing the primary program who may have difficulty in finding employment because there is a large cadre of trained teachers at the primary schools who are not suitable. They don't have the content, the subject content, to teach at the secondary school. So you can see the urgency why we need to revisit the training program at Trafalgar College and to see that we address that problem. Mr. Speaker, with the thrust towards universal secondary education, there is need to continue to invest in the quality and access to early childhood education. The member from Denry North alluded previously that he needs daycare, preschool, and growing with it. We need to invest not only in early childhood education, we need to invest in special education, we need to invest in tertiary education, and to improve the quality at the primary school level with particular focus and emphasis on literacy and numeracy, because we have a problem there. The goals to qualify and access are set out in the draft sector plan in education. And I want to take some time to talk a little on early childhood education. The OECS education reform strategy number 20 and 21 respectively reads as follows: ensure that all children between the ages of 3 years to 5 years are enrolled in preschools. The target of 100% enrollment of this age cohort should be achieved by 2010. Continue to promote and facilitate private initiative and philanthropic contributions as a major source of the establishment and operations of preschool. Governments, however, should create preschool in circumstances in which needy children are at risk of missing out on early education. St. Lucia, let us see what happens in St. Lucia.
in St. Lucia, three schools are privately owned. We do not have government preschools. At the end of 2005, there were 113 preschool institutions. The population of preschoolers was 6,119. But only 57% of this age cohort was formally enrolled. So it means that we have another 43% of our preschoolers who have not been formally enrolled. Today, as of 2007, we have 120 such schools. Government has not taken full responsibility for preschools, but the Ministry of Education, through its Early Childhood Education Unit, has tried to regulate these schools through the provision of teacher training sessions, supervision, and monitoring of services, and the setting of achievement goals and standards. That is what the Ministry of Education has undertaken. But I think we might begin to think whether it is feasible to take up such a challenge. It means that we would have to find space for well over 6,000 children if we are to take that responsibility to provide schooling for preschoolers. We would need lots of finance to do so. But that is something we have to discuss, something we have to think about, because what happens is that while 57% receive an education at the preschool level, 43% are not receiving. And we would want to consider whether we think this is fair to the 43%. Okay. Daycare centers. At the end of 2005, there were 41 daycare centers. As you know, daycare centers are now assigned to the Ministry of Education. There were 41 daycare centers providing service from birth to 3-year-olds. Out of the 41, 20 of these were privately owned, which means there were 21 government-owned daycare centers. There was a population of 7,812 birth to 2 years. But only 16%, listen to this, only 16% of the birth to 3 age group was formally enrolled. So the situation was even worse at the daycare center. Although we had 50% government owned, 50% privately owned, but the enrollment was even worse, 16%. And we need to decide what we are going to do to change this around, because it is unfair, I think, for some persons to get treatment, that kind of treatment, go to be enrolled, and others do not get the opportunity. Now, this is something we have to consider. We know it's costly, but this is a decision we would have to take. Now, with the Ministry of Education assuming the responsibility for daycares, there is something that must be done. We need to revisit the legislation, the Education Act, because the Education Act only makes provision for children 3 to 5 years, that is preschoolers. There is no provision in the Act for persons of daycare age. So we must urgently look at the legislation and to ensure that we include in that Act, make provision for daycare services, 0 to 3 years, and early childhood or early childhood education from 0 to 5 years. I'm not sure what the best wording is, but we need to include this in the Education Act if we are to provide a service at the daycare center. So this is something we have to work with. I will work with the Attorney General Chambers to ensure that this change is made. Mr. Speaker, whilst I spoke about teacher training at Sahrawi's Community College, there ought to have been provision for teacher training with the implementation of the universal secondary education in other areas. You recall, Mr. Speaker, that it was said that a number of children perform very poorly at the common entrance examination. We were even told that as getting a mark as low as 9, and they were placed at a secondary school. Now, if that is true, Mr. Speaker, it means that this year we have serious literacy and numeracy problems. And therefore, something has to be done both at the primary school level and at the secondary school level to try and alleviate this problem. And therefore, we needed to train teachers in advance. Right now, we are going to train them after the universal secondary school education has been implemented, but we should have trained them in advance in areas literacy, I think very, very important, TVET, and you know with TVET, it is a technical and vocational subject. We need teachers in that area. We need to train them in the traditional TVET areas, but we also need to train them in other new areas. And what is being proposed? That we offer theater acts. That is what is being proposed. Theater acts, visual acts, music. The other traditional technical vocational subjects like woodwork, home economics, and so on. But what is going to happen to those students who are low performers, who are low achievers? And what is being proposed is a new competency-based form of certification called NVQ. And the NVQ stands for National Vocational Qualification. And that is tied to occupational standards. And with that kind of certification, you need teachers who can assess those students and assess their competence properly, which means that they must be trained in that area. And with this kind of certification, these children may not be able to write the CXC examination, but then with that qualification, they may be able to enter the world of work in industry and so forth. So we need to train them not only in literacy, as well as numeracy in TVET. We also propose that teachers are trained in ICT, Information and Communication Technology, and we remember that the Prime Minister referred to that, opening up the ICT centers so that it can provide jobs for a number of young persons. But we need teachers who are competent in that field to be able to deliver and train children or train students sufficiently so that they can be equipped with the necessary skills to be able to access information using that technology and find work in that field. So that's another area. Special needs area. And you know, special needs, that is something we are hearing more and more about. You know, sometimes the teachers who are training special needs tell you when children have difficulty in learning that we must diagnose, find out what the problem is. They may have a special problem. And the problem may be conditions of reading difficulty. They may have difficulty reading, and that may be because of a number of reasons. They may have attention deficit disorder. They may have disruptive behavior, and that is because of certain reasons. And you need persons who are trained and skilled to be able to detect this, to be able to assist those students. But you also need you also need persons to teach gifted children. That's a special need too. Not only those persons who have problems, the persons who are gifted, they are very gifted students, and you need teachers with the skills to be able to help those students, because, you know, if you are not able to help them, they are advanced, some of them are so advanced that the teachers cannot manage them, they cannot control them, and therefore they get into mischief and so on. So not only students with problems, reading problems and attention problems, but students who are also gifted. Now, also we need to train teachers in the support systems. Guidance and counseling. Conflict resolution. You need teachers in that field. And if you have teachers in that field, it is going to help with the discipline at the schools. It is also going to help to direct children in terms of the thought process. It might help to give students advice in terms of career guidance. So, not only in the subject areas that you teach, but also in the support systems. And we need the support systems. We need the guidance counselors in the schools, not only at the secondary schools, but we also need them at the primary school level to help guide and assist our students. Mr. Speaker, I want to refer and to talk a little about security at schools. I think that is a very serious problem that most principals are concerned about, most schools are concerned about. And I think it is a problem. Because of late, schools have experienced a number of problems related to security. We have had the problems at Rock Hall. As I said, we had to move the students there prematurely to Grosvenor because of that problem, security problem. We recently had it at George Charles. You where this masked man walking and with gun and cutlass and took away the canteen's cash. The security system needs special review so as to make it more efficient. But what we have done, we have taken some temporary measures, especially at the George Charles Secondary School. And these measures included fencing the compound, although there was a plan to fence the entire compound, but we had to fence an inner part temporarily because of that problem. And one of the problems that we have, especially at that school, is that there are people living right outside of the school compound, and they use the school compound. And that is the problem. We have that problem at Rockwell as well. They use the school compound to make way to do their business in other places. And they find it more convenient. And even if you have a fence sometimes, they manage to cut the fence. They cut the fence and they go through. So we are taking some temporary measures like putting the fence. We debushed the area where we had bush. We make sure we We cut that down so that the children and teachers can see persons approaching the school. We also put in some CCTV systems at our school so that the principal can see what is happening around. And we have installed this system in a few schools. The schools that are mostly isolated, where they are a little away from the main community, like the George Charles Secondary School, the Asia Secondary School, the Bukash Secondary School, the Leon Hess Secondary School, because these schools are a little away, the Cassius Comprehensive, and the Vifo Technical Secondary. And that we did at a cost of $80,000. But one of the things, I'll come back, one of the things we have this, I think we are now contemplating, is to reactivate the position of Chief Security so that with him and his deputies, we can work out a workable plan for the security system of the school. Mr. Speaker, I want to speak briefly on some of the welfare assistance, like the feeding program. We'll continue, and speaking to principals, they told us that there was a problem of getting supplies on time, so they couldn't start the program on time. So we have been able to get money to buy a transport, a bus, to ensure that delivery is made, and not only that delivery is made, it is made in something that is safe. And we are hoping, and what we are trying to do, is to ensure that the meals given to the children strike a sort of a balanced diet within the week. Not only that they get one type of food all the time, but at least they can be able to get some fresh juice. And we are hoping with the setting up of the center at Asia, remodeling it, they can have maybe something like a juice freezer out there, or extractor, where they can buy the oranges and the grapefruit, extract the juice, and with the schools that do the feeding program there, maybe once a week or twice a week, give them some fresh juice. And we are hoping too that at least at some point too they can get a fresh fruit, maybe a banana or something. One of the things I must commend, Mr. Speaker, the group called Fair Trade. Fair Trade has taken a position now where they assist some schools to augment the feeding program. And I must commend them for this. I know they have done so in the James O'Brasha area, and they have done so in other schools. So I must commend them for the effort. And the reason that they have given for this is to ensure that the children get a sort of a balanced kind of diet throughout the week. And they are also encouraging that where possible, they would be able to provide some ripe bananas at some point to augment the meal for the students. We are continuing with the book rental program, as well as the welfare program. But we are encountering a little difficulty with the children, the way they handle the books. Some of them don't return the books. Some of them mark the books, they don't cover the books. We will try to see what we can do to ensure that the children return the books in good condition so that we can pass it on to persons who need them. Okay. Now, Mr. Chairman, let us look at some of the works that we have to carry out during this year, because we have a number of schools that need rehabilitation, a number of schools that need repairs. And first of all, we are doing this under two counts. One, under the plant and equipment unit, and two, under the education development project, that is a project funded by the World Bank. So we have two categories of work going on at the same time. Okay, the Babunuk, I'll just read them down. We're starting with the Babunuk Combined School. It needs a new roof for the old wing of the primary school on the ceiling, because as the member for Babunuk said, we went there and we saw it in a deplorable condition, and we will be doing this at an estimated cost of $60,000. Well, Lager, he spoke about, and he said that Lager needs a new school. This is quite true, but we cannot afford a new school for Lager, so we'll have to do some remedial work on that school. As a matter of fact, we realized that they suspended the feeding program there, and that we want to reinstall come September because of problems of rats and so on. But then, first thing, I think they need a storage facility, which they don't have. And if you don't have a storage facility, then you encourage the rats. So they need a storage facility first of all, and we need to start the feeding program again at Lager. And there are one or two schools where the feeding program does not exist. We will start that at 2 in September, like in Larissus Combined School. So we will be doing some work on the Lager school at the tune of $60,000. The Babunuk Secondary, we need to do some general repairs. If you look at this building, just maybe about 5 years old, the louvers, if you go there, it's in a terrible condition. They are broken. I think the material from which they were made, they get seized. And I think in trying to pry them open or pry them to close them, they just break, and there are so many of them broken. It's an eyesore, and we are going to do some general repairs there at a cost of $40,000. Vidbuchai Primary, the steel frames there, we are going to clean them, protect them, and so on at a cost of $30,000. Cassis Comprehensive, we are going to repair roof leaks. There are some leaks in the roof. At a cost of $60,000, Ira Simmons, locks and windows at the cost of $40,000. Ave Maria, well, we will look on this. We need to remove the asbestos ceiling. This is something that takes some money and time, so we need to work on that. We are working on that. The Marshall Combined School, we're going to install a movable partition and stage at the cost of $30,000. Bokash Combined, we're going to do this before the year ends. Clean, strip, and paint metal frames, because we need to keep that in top shape, because if you don't do that, they're going to rot and cause problem. At Bokash Combined, we're going to do that at $30,000. Then ancillary in front, a repair of timber block there at the cost of $30,000. Bexar Primary, general repairs, $40,000. Millet Primary, replacement of windows and so on at $60,000. Cicerone Secondary, we need to, there's a generator there, we need to construct a small house to keep your generators and so on at the cost of $40,000. Fascians Combined, replacement of the ceiling that's fallen down at $60,000. Niku Primary, some work there at $60,000. Denry Primary, repairs to concrete roof, $40,000. Clendon Mason, counselor's room, staff toilet, and sick bay, $120,000. Viewport Primary, replacement of windows and doors, $30,000. Grace Combined, we'll be doing work at Belvie, OJ, Viewport Comprehensive. Well, we said we are going to demolish and replace. Replacement of post-secondary block A, build staff toilet block for post-sec and A-level at a cost of $225,120. And we'll be doing work at Newport Compass, other work at demolish the auditorium at Campus D. We'll be doing work at Salty Bus, Roblo, Zuga, Reunion, Schwarzel Secondary, Sufra Primary. In fact, at a number of schools, and of course, we will try to do major electrical works at some of these schools because these are in deplorable conditions. And this is something we have to be very careful about, so we will tackle that as well. Under the OECS Education Development Project, and as I said, we are doing a number of things here too. Okay, we spoke about the two secondary schools, Rosalie and Marigo. We hope that this will be completed we are not sure because it seems like we're having some problems in the contractors telling us exactly when that will be finished, but we are hoping that this would be finished as soon as possible. Okay. Expansion, upgrading, and rehabilitation of existing facilities, ground level senior primary to full-fledged secondary school, that is being done. Rehabilitation and expansion of Clendon Mason Secondary School, Shoesell Secondary, expansion of St. Mary's College, rehabilitation of Corrin Secondary School, Miku Secondary School, Vilbutai Secondary School, Entropo Secondary School, and we are proposing to construct a new office, education office in District 5 in Miku. So, we are hoping that we can undertake work as soon as school closes for the summer vacation, so that in September we would not be having work done while the children return to school. So we will be doing as much as that. Okay, now as you know, we now have with us the Cultural Development Foundation. It was with the Ministry of Social Transformation. I would like just to give an idea of some of the things that we will be doing at the CDF. Under artistic expression, we're going to have the National Arts Festival. That is, the showcasing of excellence for the arts is being anchored by the annual staging of the National Arts Festival. Our best creative and performing artists are presently competing in several areas, and they're competing in dance, theater, visual arts, literacy, and traditional arts over a four-week period. So that is an activity that is ongoing and that will remain. And we think that the National Arts Festival will now, instead of every year, we'll have it. It will be held every 2 years. And the reason,
honorable member, you have 10 minutes within which to complete your presentation.
At the same time, same year, we have this National Arts Festival in the same year of Carry Festival. So we'll be able to prepare at the same time for the National Arts Festival and Carry Festival at the same time. The Cultural Development Foundation also tries to decentralize its cultural programs, and it has embarked on a steel band project. Okay, there is one development that stands out as a model of cultural administration and decentralization, and that is the Community Steel Band Project. The CDF and the Poverty Reduction Fund have already established free steel band centers One in Amslawi, one in Miku, and in Delhi. As time goes on, we will identify other areas where that project will take place. Another big activity is a major improvement expected this year in the country's largest festival called Carnival. And the Ministry of Tourism have decided to come together with the CDF, the Ministry of Education, to significantly increase the funding for this activity, for this celebration. And so we are hoping with this it will become bigger, a grander activity. We have not condemned the idea of the theater. I think that is still on the card, but we need to discuss it a little more before we can come out here and give the details. Quickly, let me run through my the problems of my constituency. Madam Speaker, the Miku South constituency requires much attention. We require attention on our roads, because all of our roads are in deplorable condition, and anybody who travels within the Miku South constituency will know that. The only road that we got assistance on was the Deriso High Road, and it was only potholing. But it's just like putting a new patch on an old dress. Every time you put a new patch on an old dress, another hole comes up, and that is what has been happening on that road. So you will find that road is patched, and within a few weeks you will wonder whether that road was ever patched. It's the patch is there, but other holes develop. The Jiga Lakuville Road, the Tiroche Lakuville Road, the Sheikh Mwanza Road, the Fobuape Road, the Upper Calixto Road, but even donkeys can cross there. If you ride a donkey there, you're in danger. We need, I'm not talking, and I've left out all the other feeder roads, farm roads and so on. I'm talking about main roads where people travel daily, and they have a problem because the bus owners, the transit owners, refuse to go to some of these places, so they have to walk long distances to get. That is one. Two, with the decline, major decline in the banana industry, and I'm glad that will be revitalized and that the people will go back to agriculture. But we need employment. We need employment for the young people. And I'm glad that the development taking place around, not too far away, in Viewfort, in Kwale, in Miku, this will be able to provide opportunities for job placement for some of these people in this area. Because, as you know, they travel to Viewfort to work all the time. So Viewfort, Kwale, Miku, that is a reasonable distance for them to travel to find jobs. What I have done, Madam Speaker, is I have set up a development committee, one in the Deriso area and one in the Tiroche area, to help with the development of the constituency. And we are setting up subcommittees like the Youth and Sports Committee, Welfare Committee, Committee Responsible for the Cemetery, and so on. We are setting up other committees. This was the idea of the people, and that is to help, take responsibility for the development of the country. And we are hoping at some point we're able to have some resource center for the young people to be involved in ICT, to be able to get skills in computer literacy and so forth. Madam Speaker, we still need to augment our water supply. We got a new tank, but this tank supplies water to all the communities in the Miku South constituency. Although, as I said before, that tank took 3 years before it was installed after being demolished. But we welcome it, but we need to amend this, and I am proposing that there should be one tank for the Deriso community, Deriso, Angers, Blasha, and one tank to serve Tiroche, Diga, Lakouville. If we do this, then I think the people will be able to get sufficient water to ensure that their daily lives are not compromised.
Honorable member, you have 3 minutes within which to complete your presentation.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I want to tell the people of Miku South, they stood with me despite whatever happened. They knew that we were neglected. They knew that when I made presentations asking for assistance that I was not given. For example, Madam Speaker, the Poverty Reduction Fund never saw it fit to help implement anything that I asked. But the days are gone, new days are here, and the people showed that they took umbrage to what the treatment that were given to them. And that is why, Madam Speaker, on December 11th, that I was so formidable in that constituency. And I want to tell them that I will not let them down, and I will do everything in my power with their assistance to ensure that the constituency of Miku South thrives once again. Thank you, Madam Speaker.